Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, tonight I just want to just share a biblical principles with you called Your Future Guaranteed. I've said this before to you. I probably haven't said it enough, but I said it before, and I want to say it again. When I was a young man, I really wish I could have sat with some great business people, asked them how in the world they did life so successful, because I was looking at their economics to see whether or not they were successful in running businesses and everything. I don't know, maybe in your life you've thought about that. If I could just ask that person who is so successful how it is they became successful, what'd they do, what was it all about, what made them successful. As I got into the Lord Jesus Christ, I found out that I really didn't want to hear from them, but I really wanted to hear from somebody who was spiritually successful and prosperous in every area of their life. When I use the word prosperous, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about marriages. I'm talking about children. I'm talking about grandchildren. I'm talking about being prosperous and joy every day and happiness, fulfillment. I'm talking about being in control of your life instead of your physical life controlling you. And you know, whatever it is in your life and in my life, we all have goals. There's one thing I can say for sure about every single one of us that are in here. We're not going to be able to walk out there and find out from other successful people unless you want to buy their books and get a hold of $800 worth of CDs and then they give you a bunch of baloney that doesn't work anyway. But you might as well find out for the one who created life and can really teach you how to be prosperous in every area of your life. And that's from God's Word and about God. Every one of us that are in here have a future. Some of you don't know what your future is in store for you. You have no idea. You just want to sit back and just let something happen, and hopefully whatever happens, happens is good. But that's a lousy way to approach the future. But if you could design for yourself a future, if you could put all the pieces together and say, here's what I'd like to do, here's what I'd like to be, here's what I'd like to see, here's what I'd like to have happen, here's what I'd like to fulfill, here's, and if you could just design a future, it wouldn't do you any good unless you knew how to fulfill that future. And God says and gives you the opportunity to, with His presence, His will and plan, very important, to design your future. God has a great future for every single one of us. I've said it over and over again, there's a purpose, there's a plan, there's a will that God has for your life. And I can guarantee to you tonight, as someone who's been around for a long time, I can guarantee you a successful and prosperous future in every area of your life. You stop and you think about, well, my marriage may not be successful, you say, and I'm here to tell you, guess what? I can show you tonight with simple principles on how to be successful in your marriage. I can show you tonight how to be successful in your business. Tonight I can show you how to be successful with your children or relationships. How to be successful even with yourself. There's a future even in the area of our own physical being. How to be successful. Some of people that are always under the more of a control of the refrigerator than anything else. And God says there's a way to approach your future, and I want to share it with you that's important for you to see. Let's start off with the Word of God. I'm going to give you a lot of verses tonight, but I'm going to make it simple and easy for you to understand. There are four things that I want to communicate with you tonight. Simple as that. Four simple areas. You know, if there's one thing that Debbie and I did, is we made one choice as young. Debbie was in her 20s, I was in my early 30s. One choice, and the choice was we were going to live our life according to what God said. We were not going to live our life according to what religion said. There oftentimes is a difference, in case you didn't know that. We were not going to live our life according to what the majority of people or society or social systems told us to live our life by. We were going to live our life by what God's word had to say, the B-I-B-L-E, which we found over the years is the manual on how to do life. So in order for your life and your future to be guaranteed, whatever it is, a successful marriage, whatever it is, get your kids turned on to Jesus and live prosperous and successful with your children, whatever it is economically or in your business, whatever it is you're desiring, even just something called, you know, controlled eating, losing weight, it may be a desire for your future. If you'll apply these four simple things in your life, it'll turn your whole world around and upside down. And I think it's pretty important that we all listen. It says something in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I've been meditating, thinking about it. Of course, this is a love chapter, and we understand that. But in the verse number 13, the last verse in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." The three things that I want to talk and share about with tonight that you need to apply in your life is something that is stable and consistent and is going to stay around for a long time. Something that's not going to be here for a short period of time and then be gone. And if you'll notice in verse number 13, it says, "Now abideth." The word "abideth" means it's staying, it's dwelling, it's immovable, it's eternal. So here is something you can sink your heart into. Here is something you can sink your life into. And the three things that he says is faith, hope, and love. And I'll give you the fourth in a moment. But these three things are the first three things that you and I need to talk about if we're going to have a future that is beyond what we could ever even imagine. I promise you, guaranteed. A future with abundance of every blessing you can possibly imagine. I didn't say you wouldn't have problems. I didn't say you wouldn't be confronted by the enemy. I didn't say you're going to just get along and everything's going to be great. But here's areas that you can apply into your life that are not going to go away. And these three areas is love, hope, and faith. Let's take the first is faith. If you will, let's take a look at it first. Faith. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." You know that verse, and so do I. But I want you to know something. The very language that God hears, I want to say it again. We speak a lot of languages, even in this room. Some of you are Hispanic and you speak a Spanish language and you understand it. Some of you may be Asian and have an Asian background and culture and you speak Asian dialect and that you understand it. Some of you speak all kinds of different areas and think different things. But the very language that God himself hears is faith. And when you and I live and walk in faith, that means believing God. That means trusting in God. That means a wholehearted wrapped around God. That means solid in your approach to the things of God. And you face life in the faith of God. Man, it changes the whole world that you are in. Instead of approaching faith and saying, "I just believe God," and then a problem comes and you just fall apart. Man, you go through that problem and come out on the other side. And you come out blessed on the other side because you are somebody who is grounded and strong and standing well in believing that God is going to come through for you. A confidence, a trusting in Him. That's what faith is all about. And the first thing He says is there's faith. And this faith is something you and I have got to live in always. We can't just live in wanting something to happen and maybe it'll happen. We've got to believe God for it to happen. And if you're not believing God for something, nothing is going to happen. You got to believe God for your salvation. or you won't get saved. And let alone anything that you're going to do. In fact, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 6, says that there's no other way to please God but by faith. That he that comes to God must believe that he is. That means that he is God. And then it comes along and makes this statement, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's your future right there. I mean, you're talking about having a future. Number one thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get out of hoping something just drops on you. Something just happens. Some bird flies over and all of a sudden he poops out gold bars or something. I don't know. Somebody flies over a Tinker Bell and waves a magic wand. It doesn't happen that way with God. You're going to have to get to a place where you are trusting and believing and have a confidence in a God you cannot see. But you know that you know that you know he's going to come through for you. And no matter what comes at you, you're standing in him. And that faith is the language that God hears moves God. He must believe that. And listen to what he says. He says, a rewarder of those who diligent, a rewarder, a rewarder. A reward, that means there's a reward waiting for you for those that diligently seek not just something, seek him about what your future is all about. Without it, doesn't work. The second thing we saw in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, is a word hope. Hope is a funny thing. It's a very visionary expression. It's that which I see, I look at, but I don't have, but it's like a picture that my faith can go to work on. And hope keeps me in there. I don't have it today, but I have a hope that tomorrow that I'm believing God for, whether it be the marriage or the finances or the job or the business, whatever it might possibly be, that faith that I've got out there, I've got a hope that it's coming. I got a hope that he's going to make it work. I've got a hope that's in there. If I lose my hope, I lose everything. Without an understanding how important it is that every day you have hope, you'll get depressed without it. I don't care how big you think things are, how bad things are. Without hope, man, you get to the place where you're just saying, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged. Why? You lost your hope. Hope isn't having it. Hope is having a vision that it's coming. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how it's going to come. But I know that in my God, he opens the doors that no man can open. He closes the doors no man can close. And in my God, I've got hope for tomorrow. I haven't got it today. That's where my faith comes in. But my hope holds my faith in place. I've got to have hope. I have to talk to myself during the day. Why not? The news tells you everything. Checkbook talks to you all the time. Anybody ever had their checkbook talk to them lately? You know what I'm talking about. The bosses talk to you. People talk to you. I gotta have a hope. Somehow, I don't know how. Some way, I don't know what way. By some means, I don't even know what those means might possibly be, but I've got some hope that my God is going to come through. He's going to make it happen. And that's what holds my faith oftentimes in place. Without it, I find myself failing and falling. I like what this verse, and found this cool verse as I was just meditating this in Jeremiah. I was reading 17th chapter, verse number 7. You got to turn there, circle it in your Bible. Go there with me. In Jeremiah 17th chapter, verse number 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. That's faith. Now watch the next part of the verse. And whose hope, there's love, there's hope. Listen to this. There's faith, there's hope. Right there. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. That's faith. And whose hope, there's that vision, that he's got, that God's coming through. Don't know how and where, but he's going to make a way. Hope is in the Lord. He's a blessed man. He now has the door open for him being successful and prosperous. In the simplest areas of your life, don't have to be just some business transaction. Don't have to be a marriage. Just take life itself. Just take who you are. Let's say that you're addicted to something and you can't stop. Let's say that you're just in bondage to something you can't stop. You just might say something like to yourself, this is just the way it is, you know. It is what it is. That's the worst comment there's ever been for a people of faith. Because it's not what it is. It's what you believe God for and the hope that you hold it in place. People of faith should never say it is what it is. It's always subject to change. I've got my faith out there. I've got my hope out there. Verse 8 comes along. I thought it was a cool verse. It says, he shall be like a tree, the one who has his faith and his hope in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river. Isn't that a cool spot for a tree to be? Are you hearing me now? And will not fear. I should have highlighted the word fear there. When the heat comes, but its leaves shall be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. In other words, there's going to be a time when there's pressure, but I won't have to be anxious about the time. There'll be a time when things don't look like they're going good. When there's times in every one of our lives when you wonder if God is even listening to you. You've prayed and it looks like and sounds like your prayers have only gone to the ceiling. And there's no results. You don't see any changes. You're in a year possibly of drought. But guess what? If your roots are down by the river, you're going to prosper and be successful. Nor will he cease from yielding fruit because he's drawn his nourishment. Not from what the earth has to give, but by the substance of the river. And we live by the river of life, who is God himself. Every day we need to come to a place of having faith in God. Will there be problems? Look right there. We'll not fear the heat that's coming. Hey, listen, I'm not going to be anxious about the year of drought. There's problems going to come. When you make a stand in faith and you keep your hope out there, I promise you, there will be pressures against you. If he doesn't get you off of the faith, if the enemy of your soul doesn't get you off of your hope, you guess what? You're going to have that come to pass. And he's got to stop you. And as soon as he stops you, man, it cuts off the language that you're speaking to God about, called faith. I'll be not anxious for the year. I'm glad he put the year. Didn't say for the moment. Sometimes we're in this for a long haul. Sometimes things look just pretty crappy for a long time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it's like, when is this going to break? When's it going to happen? When's it going to pop? When is it going to explode? When is it going to take care? When's my prayer going to be answered? When's my faith going to be responded to? When's my hope going to come to be reality? Well, listen, it might take a little time, but hold on. God's not in any hurry. He's just going to have it come to pass. And mature Christians, let me say it again. Mature Christians, let me say it again. So such an important thing. Being a Christian and being a mature Christian are two different things. You can be a Christian and be a baby. But a mature Christian goes through this valley of the shadow of death, but it doesn't camp in it, stays on the going to the other side. Nobody told you to pitch a tent in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. You may be losing today. What, my goodness sakes, we're talking about securing and guaranteeing a future. First two things we're talking about is faith in God and hope. You cannot lose it. Keep a hold of the vision. I tell you, without a vision, people perish. My Bible says, without that hope, you're not going to make it. You got to have hope, not in yourself. You've already failed enough times to learn that it isn't you that's going to get this done. You should know that by now. Is anybody listening? It's God, so we put our hope in who he is. third area that we saw tonight, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, was the word love. We've described it oftentimes as the supreme power of the universe. The whole entire world thinks power is money or power is military might. Our power is some explosive igniting bomb of some kind. Power isn't that at all. The supreme power of the universe is the love of God. It's the only thing that cannot, shall not, and will not fail. The supreme power of the love of God. My love for him and his love for me, that's love. Now I've got to love him enough to trust him, faith. Love him enough to hold on to my vision, hope. And love him enough to know that he's coming through. And he loves me enough to lay his life down for me. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it how? More abundantly. Wow, that's a cool expression. Love is something that we often fail. We, you know, things don't go the way they are. We find ourselves not being perfected in this love. And when we come into the house of God, we learn all the time about ourselves. We learn about our God. And we learn how to perfect the supreme power of the universe that dwells on the inside of us. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Kind of a cool verse. Go there with me. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 18 says these words. There is no fear in love. The moment you start operating in fear, you know, remember the drought? Remember the heat of the day? The drought that lasts a year? The moment you start to operate in a fear, it says something about you. There's no fear in the love that he's talking about. But perfect love gets rid of the fear. Why? Because it is in faith, it is in hope. Is anybody listening? Fear doesn't work with faith. And hope. And so many times we're facing problems in our life and we're fearful about those problems. And rightfully so. But a mature Christian looks at the problem and says, it's a problem, but faith and hope's going to work. And my God will answer the problem. And no matter what the results are today, I know my God will take care of me in a greater way tomorrow. And that's maturity. And without an understanding of that, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So there's three areas that we find in order to secure your future and guarantee your future. You want to know what they are? Faith, hope, and love. It's that simple. That simple. But there's a fourth one. And it's an interesting one. And this is the one that most Christians give up on. And it's called work. Hard work. God does not ever reward people who are lazy. We can have all the faith in the world and all the hope and operate in love. But until we realize we've got to put something behind that faith, behind that hope, behind that love, something of ourselves, and it's hard work, we're never going to make it. The world itself without God has proved success in many areas without God by walking in same principle. Faith, even in themselves and the economy, faith in the world that they live in, hope in a vision that they have of themselves being successful without God, and a love for themselves and a love for the things they're trying to grasp. Those are simple principles like gravity. When you drop something, it's a principle. It will go to the ground. And that's a simple principle. People without God are successful because they put those same principles to work in the wrong way. But we that are of God have God behind us to guarantee that it's coming to pass. But it's going to take hard work on all of our parts. You can't say, man, I tell you what. I just got faith, I'm going to lose weight. I got hope, I'm going to lose weight. I'm walking in the love of God, I'm not fearful at all. And then hit the refrigerator every other hour. It won't work. It's going to take hard work, and you can apply that to your marriage. You can apply that to your life. You can apply it to your business. You can apply it to your school. You can apply it to your education. You can apply it to anything. I want you to know something. God honors hard work. Paul writes these words, I labored more than them all in Corinthians. That's Paul the apostle. And then he stops and he says, it wasn't me that labored, it was grace. But he did put in the work and grace got the job done. That's what he was talking about. James says, faith. In fact, let's just take a look at James just for a second. It's kind of a cool little thing. You need to just check it out for yourself. In James, go with me to the second chapter of James. And listen to what James is writing. Do you know who James is, by the way? He's a half-brother of Jesus. He's a senior pastor of the church at Jerusalem. Can you imagine such a thing? And here James writes, under the inspiration of God, and he writes this in the second chapter, and he writes these words in verse number 17 and in verse number 18. It says, thus also by faith, if it does not have works, is dead. You can believe God, but you got to put something behind it. You can believe God and have hope, but you got to put something behind it. You can't just sit around like a magic wand. I'm applying faith, I'm applying hope, and not work for it. Are you following me? I mean, I could say, well, I believe God's going to build a great church in the Inland Empire. I don't give a flip what other pastors have done and haven't done or done. That isn't the question. God's going to take the Rock Church, make a great church out of it, and never show up. It would never happen. We have 10 services a week, guys. 10 in a time when most churches are only having 2 or 3 at the maximum. Most churches in America have 1. We have 10 a week. You know what that translates to? Oh, yeah, faith. It translates to hope. It translates to love between us. And it also translates hard work. You'll never build a business without hard work. You'll never have a great marriage without hard work. You'll never have a vision that's going to come to pass without hard work. And so somebody needs to come along and tell you about faith. Someone needs to tell you about hope. And someone needs to tell you about love. But someone also needs to tell you, we need to get off our duff and do something about it. And the people who work for it, when they're in faith, in hope, in love, get it. Just the way it works. Verse number 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith. And I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We're so afraid of working. We want God just to do it for us. Wouldn't that be a great gospel? You don't have to do anything. God's done it all. Just sit there and sing a few songs, you know, pick lint out of your belly button, and you don't have to do a thing. Everybody goes, yes, let's let the preacher ring a few bells in front of us and blow incense all over us. And that's all I have to do. I want you to know something. You will fail in life. And the future that you're believing for will never come to pass because you didn't put the quality in called hard work. People who work hard, that have faith and have a vision of hope and have the love of God working on the inside of them, that's what they want to be. They become successful in every area of their life. I tell you, I you know, just between you and me, Debbie, don't tell her this. She really bugs me. I mean, the woman works so hard. It's like she's up in the middle of the night. And I'm snoring. Hear something. I'm a man, so figure it's a burglar. There's Debbie down the hall in one of the rooms just praying. I'm telling you. And then I get real spiritual. She's working in the middle of the night for you. She's come to a place, and so have I, that we can never prosper until you prosper. We can never be at rest as pastors until you're at rest. We can never be in the blessing until the church is in the blessing. That's the pastor's heart. She's up in the middle of the night, and she's just crying out to God. And you know what spiritual men are like? Shut up and close the door! Sometimes I wonder if I'm saved. I know you've wondered that too. We'll work it out. The truth is, guys, that we really need to understand the importance of hard work. There's this cool little verse Deb and I were talking about because, you know, we're just hard workers. Just always have been. I mean, you know, when you're 65, you're supposed to slow down. We're thinking about new businesses to start. Getting ready. We're meeting with our tax people this Friday to start new businesses. I'm going to put some of you to work. I not only want to preach the gospel, I'm going to start businesses to get you working. My goodness sakes, I'm going to kick your butt all the way to heaven. Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 23, just pop it up in on the overhead. In all labor, there's profit. Listen to that. Stop right there. You don't have to go any further. We'll go further, but you don't have to. In all labor, there's profit. You got to work. You got to work. In all, I mean, here's Adam. He's formed. God gives him a job. Gave him a job before he gave him a woman. First man. God says, I want you to listen to me, Adam. I want you to trust me. I'll tell you what to do. First thing he says, here's what you're to do. Gives him a job. Now you're the gardener of the earth. He looked up at God and said, muchas gracias. And that's how we got so many gardeners around. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm having fun with you. I know I'll get a lot of rotten letters on that one. Jeez. But idle chatter leads only to poverty. In other words, you can talk all you want to talk, but you know that it's not about talk. It's about getting in there and making this happen. Look, I can guarantee you, not only by the word, but before you is a life of a man and a woman that's marriage is like idyllic, whose children hungry for God, whose grandchildren are practicing in the mirrors to preach the gospel to the next generation. There's love between us. We care about each other. We fight for each other. We believe and pray for each other. We're in love. Businesses are successful. Kids are successful. Marriage is successful. I didn't just come out of seminary school. I'm an old man, a grandpa, trying to teach my brothers and sisters something so you don't have to wait until you're 55 or 60 years old before you figure this out. But you can get a hold of this and change the world that's your future. Because your future is going to come one way or the other. And it's your call whether you make the choice. Number one is what? Faith. Number two is what? Hope. Number three is what? Love. Number four is work. Hard work. If God spoke to you tonight, give him a great big praise. Will you do that? Just that simple.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.